Movie Marks.
As we like to do sometimes on this show, I'm going to give a little peek behind the curtain for the listeners. I'm not in my normal recording space. I'm actually in a hotel in Atlantic City overlooking the husk of the casino that is the Showboat. And if you remember from our previous episode, Army of the Dead, the Showboat was a filming location. So it only seems fitting for us to tackle a new zombie flick. Unfortunately, the one we're watching today makes Army of the Dead look like The Godfather. We're the Movie Marks, and today we're grappling with Wrestlers vs. Zombies, starring an NWO and its dying days worth of wrestlers, including Shane Douglas, Matt Hardy, and making his triumphant return to the show since episode one, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Welcome to the Movie Marks, the podcast where we discuss movies starring professional wrestlers who act like amateurs. I'm Chris Sacco, and as always, I'm joined by my tag team partner, the Iron Sheik to my Nikolai Volkov, Chris Kramer.
I do spit a lot, and I wear curly-toed shoes, so that works.
Well, I think it works more because I have the better singing voice. So, you know, at the start of all our live shows, I do sing the Soviet national anthem?
Movie Marks number one. Movie Marks are number one. All other podcasts. Hey!
That's a great old school team that was just, let's put two guys together who don't really make sense. And back then it was novel, and now that's every team.
I was a big fan of them as a kid because I just thought they were so comical and not threatening in the least.
Yeah. Well, certainly Volkov, that was true. I mean, the Sheik, yeah, you also laughed at, but at least he looked, like, imposing. Volkov looked, he was a big guy in a red sweater. It looked ridiculous.
My favorite Sheik memory still might be that he won the gimmick battle royal because he was the only one that physically couldn't be taken out of the ring at WrestleMania.
Hey, you know what? They always say the biggest guys are the biggest threats in those things because you can't get them over the ropes. So, before we get to my rundown of pro wrestlers versus zombies, we have some listener feedback to get to. We're back to the placeholder name. I think, you know, we tried some other stuff. It's listener feedback. This is from your neck of the woods. This is from James from New Jersey, who wrote in to talk about the pizza from The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. That's, remember, Chicago-style pizza, but also in the movie it just looked like, I don't know, like a bowl full of ketchup, kind of. He said he saw the picture on Instagram and agrees that it looks gross, and this also ties into our, but mostly your, ongoing feud with the city of Chicago for their pizza and other things.
Yep, I have a long-standing feud going back to Survivor Series, where I refuse to go to Chicago ever again.
Yeah, that it was just not a great trip, just all around. Just
nope. Bad pizza, bad pretzels,
bad drivers. The best part was probably the sort of impromptu indie wrestling show we saw at a beer fest.
Oh, yeah. And I was legitimately happy because of everyone on that show. We saw guys wrestle three times just switching masks.
Yeah, that was great. They would switch masks, and then the one young guy had tattoos. So the second time he came out, he just had an armband as well, which I loved.
Yep. They found a way to have six guys wrestle like eight matches.
Yeah, and they definitely got paid, you know, $7. Probably not even, to be honest.
No, they got paid in drink tickets.
Well, if only that were true for us today, it would be easier to get through this, because today's film is Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. It is a 2013 independent movie, quote-unquote, directed by Cody Knotts. Funding for this film took place primarily on Kickstarter.
No, it didn't. It even had money from Kickstarter?
I mean, some of the wrestlers contributed as well, I think, but it primarily was funded through Kickstarter. And as you know, Kickstarter does not delete any of their projects. So I was able to go back and look at the actual Kickstarter for this.
Please tell me how much they raised, because I want to know where that money went.
So the funding goal for this movie was $30,000, okay? And the project was successfully funded, and they raised $30,026. So that means that they probably raised $26, and at the last minute, someone came in with $30,000.
I love when Kickstarters just come in by, like, barely the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, I read through some of the comments, too, from, like, backers. Most of the comments are from Cody Knotts himself saying, oh, we're, you know, putting out the DVDs and stuff. And one comment was, oh, man, last time I checked in, you were nowhere near funding. How did that happen? So it's suspicious. But the most interesting part of the Kickstarter is that on the campaign notes, they say that there are certain people have already signed letters of intent to appear in the film. And, you know, some of them end up, you know, Shane Douglas is listed and Taya Parker, but also listed who are not in the film, Terry Funk, Larry Zbysko, and Raven all apparently signed letters of intent, but then did not appear in the movie. So
I'm not going to lie. Better movie if those three are in it.
Yeah, a better movie. Piper did not sign a letter of intent, but he was under, like, expressed interest. So I wonder if Funk would have gotten the Piper main character push. That's a little bit of the backstory. I think this is our first movie that was crowdfunded, I believe.
So the people come together for things they're passionate about. It's the wrestling community.
The opening credits of this movie look like they were made for a public access local talk show. They're about as generic as you can expect. The production company is listed as Principalities of Darkness LLC.
Oh God, I hated that so much.
Yeah, it's just everything about it. They had to make. Why would you put LLC on the logo? Like, that's illegal.
Why is it a principality?
Yeah, it's just all of it doesn't really jive. And the movie starts with a quote, sort of just put up on the screen. And the quote is, "The ring is the only place you can kill a man and get away with it." No one is given credit for this quote, and I don't know why it's there. And having watched the movie now, I still don't know why it's there. The movie opens on a high school gym, and we get some introductions and clips of an actual small independent wrestling show. These are not, none of these people are affiliated with the movie. I think the Taskmaster is in one match.
Yep. Also, you got SoCal Val, who was a ring announcer for TNA for many years. She does a lot of work with the Fight Network now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I recognized her vaguely, but I didn't know her name. These people are actually, again, they're not in the plot of the movie. They are billed in the closing credits, though. So I don't, you know, this is one of those movies where the credits are incredibly long, which I'm going to talk about later to fill time. But the task, you know, Kevin Sullivan is billed, and he's seen for literally a quarter of a second.
In all honesty, how could you not get him for this movie? He's the most demonic, evil, demon-worshipping wrestler that's existed for the past, like, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, they probably could have gotten Kevin Sullivan, but I think that this show was just filmed separately. So they just tacked it on for the opening credits.
Well, you know what it was, is Kevin Sullivan didn't have a letter of intent. They couldn't secure one, lock it down.
These matches, they just serve as the basis for the opening credits. That's all it is. After the opening credits, we go to the backstage area where we see the back of a woman, and she is a kind of sort of making out with a random guy in the dressing room. We never see the face of the woman, and we do not know who this guy is. But then outside of the locker room, we see the one and only, the franchise, Shane Douglas, spying on these two. He turns around, he looks upset, and he kind of pretends to punch the wall, but clearly he doesn't commit to it. So he kind of whiffs on hitting the wall in anger.
Those two people aren't even committing to making out.
Right, and I think it's because we find out later that the woman is meant to be Taya Parker, a model, a former penthouse pet, but that's not her. So again, they just have to use the back of a similarly looking woman's head. So you don't even get to see, like, both sides of the kiss. It's very, very weird. The announcer overhead, it's, again, none of this matters, but it's saying that the next match is going to determine something. I don't know. None of it matters. Who gives a shit? So Shane's upset. They go out to the ring. It turns out Shane Douglas and this other guy whose name is Battling Billy.
Awful name.
Yeah, are wrestling in the main event of this match. So clearly they have some genuine heat in the locker room. But we still don't know why. I mean, I guess we could put two and two together that it's over the woman. But they wrestle a little bit. The Battling Billy is not a wrestler, so there's really not much wrestling going on. And then the Shane Douglas wins the match with a tombstone pile driver. And in the process, kills Billy. So this is sort of a cautionary tale about what could go wrong in the ring. This is going to be the subject of a Dark Side of the Ring one day.
Everything about this death in the ring is beyond insanely comical. Like the paramedics that come out to check on this guy, who clearly has a neck injury, they're just pulling him all over the place.
Yeah.
There's a scene where there's a random drummer playing in the background.
So we can talk about that, too, if you want. There's no score to this movie. It just has 17 or 18 rock songs, mostly performed by the same band, that blasts over every single scene, whether it's a dialogue scene or a spooky scene or a wrestling scene. It just blasts everything. And this scene is no different.
God, this fucking music in this movie.
I honestly tried to just ignore the music as much as I could. It's really, really rough. Okay, so Shane has killed Battling Billy. He seems kind of upset about it, but, you know, who knows? The guy's dead, so we're not going to see Battling Billy anymore. Curiously, in the name of the movie, Zombies, once Battling Billy died, I was like, oh, here's how we get our zombies. But no, folks, that's not how we get our zombies, so stay tuned for that. Now we go into an office scene, and there's a guy who we find out later. His name is Angus, even though I don't know why his name is Angus.
When do we even find that out? Because
at one point, no one calls him Angus. At one point, Jesus. At one point, Piper later is questioning someone about why this is all happening, and he mentions what went on with Angus. And I sort of had to do an inference that that's the character he was referring to. So I'm going to call him Angus just for expediency, but he's just a guy. He's also, he's got like a Scottish accent, right?
Yeah.
And his voice is dubbed, which is wild. That's not the actor's voice. Because in the credits, he's billed as two people. One person is the body and the other person is doing the voice. So that's just wild on a different level.
That is not a good use of their $30,000.
No, it's not. Speaking of who used the $30,000, Angus in this scene is talking to the director of Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombie, Cody Knotts, who is playing himself in this movie. And this scene is about him taking sort of shady money to complete a project, and I think that pretty much sums up the entire experience of this film.
This is almost a documentary.
Angus gives him a couple stacks of money and tells Cody Knotts that he has booked a penitentiary for a wrestling event and he'll supply all the opponents, and the only wrestlers he wants to see there are Shane Douglas and penthouse pet Taya Parker. That's the only people he wants at this show. Cody Knotts accepts the money and says, you know what, this is so much. He's really bad at taking bribes, too, because he takes the bribe and then he says, you know what, I can spend even more of this, which that doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, Cody could have pocketed most of that money and just let him do his little weird pseudo porno in this prison.
But no, Cody Knotts says, geez, for this much money, I can also get you.
hold on. Hand me the cast list real quick.
Who signed letters of intent? I can also get you Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Matt Hardy, Rebby Sky, Thomas Rodman.
The Thomas Rodman?
I didn't catch the guy's name, but he's a male porn actor who's apparently trying to go legit. So that's going to be a thing. And the one and only Movie Marks alum, Kurt Angle.
Yep. Yeah, this movie's stocked with past guests.
Yeah. So, of course, Angus is like, yeah, I mean, I'm not giving you any more money, but if you can get all those people, do it.
Okay, sure. That doesn't seem like enough money at this point.
My note here is, what's happening? Because
we don't know. You pasted that over and over in your notes.
Well, we don't know who Angus is. We don't know why any of this is going on. Continuing on the what's happening train, we now cut to the outside of a random hospital.
That was clearly closed.
Yeah, I mean, no idea where this is. And I guess she's a nurse, this woman who's standing outside. She's wearing kind of like nurse-like clothing, but, you know, it's all Halloween store costume shop stuff. So who knows? She stops to do her makeup in her compact, and the mirror breaks, and then all this black smoke comes out of it. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really wild. How are they going to tie all this in? Yeah, forget any of that happened, because it's never referenced again. And they linger on this shot for, I mean, it felt like 6 hours, but they're just staring at this cracked compact screen.
That was a lot of that $30,000 was the CGI.
In the reflection of her compact, she sees a gurney just sitting in the middle of the road with what looks like a dead body on it.
Yeah, this hospital's just got bodies laying around outside in its empty parking lot.
I wrote down here, 9 minutes in, only 81 to go. Fuck. So she goes to investigate this gurney, as you do. It turns out to be a prank from a random person. So it didn't even tie into the spooky mirror thing. It's just some guy who's being a dick to her.
Yeah, but evidently this prank also involved this guy being able to project his voice mysteriously. And I guess he was responsible for breaking the mirror, too. This guy's good.
Yeah, but also, how did he get the gurney out there? He's the only one involved in this prank. Did he, like, wheel himself with a broom or something?
And he had to zip himself up in, like, a body bag, too.
So that was just a... that was a little swerve that the movie gave us. And then she's standing there looking annoyed. I don't know why she's standing outside like this. She starts walking around. And now Angus comes and kidnaps her. So, prank. She ends up actually getting kidnapped. Then we cut to some kind of basement. And there's a very unsettling torture scene with Angus and this nurse.
Oh, it was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not particularly graphic, but he's just like, he's kind of like half undressing her. And it's all very, he kisses her on the lips, but her lips are covered with duct tape. So that was just strange.
Now, this feels like this dude really wanted to make a porno and just couldn't.
I mean, honestly, a lot of the movie does kind of feel like that. So.
It's exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it does. This lady is murdered by Angus, and he eats her heart. So, good. We got some zombie stuff at least happening. But Angus is not a zombie. But
no.
Somehow she is. That was not listed on the Kickstarter page why that happened, so I can't explain it to you. That's just how he made this zombie. We also get now, so he's now talking into, like, the void or something. There's, like, a face in the sky that he's talking to. And this person apparently is the one who gives him his evil zombie-making, heart-eating powers and says that now you have the power to get revenge on Shane Douglas and Taya Parker because battling Billy was Angus's brother.
This movie does a lot of quick work for us to put that together.
Yes, so that is why this entire... So instead of just, like, I don't know, sneaking up behind Shane Douglas and stabbing him, his plan is to start the zombie apocalypse. Okay. He also paid a lot of money to do this. He got a lot of other wrestlers involved who did nothing wrong. Don't understand any of it.
It feels like he could have saved his money and just cut out a lot of these people in between.
How about this? Use the money to hire a hitman. Why would you use the money to pay, you know, 80s wrestling talent to come? I don't know. The next scene is another lengthy scene where the nurse lady ends up at a random house in the middle of nowhere and turns three idiots into zombies. And there's like a brawl in this house and she's biting them and they're zombifying. But the scene ends with the greatest thing I've ever seen in film. Because the way they take out the last guy that's trying to escape is with a zombie 3D. It's the greatest thing ever.
I love in this scene too that this fight pours out onto the front lawn of this house in the suburbs, so no one's seeing any of this go down, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And at one point, Angus rips a light post out of cement and starts swinging it around like he's the Hulk.
And also, that's not a power that is ever touched on again.
Nope, just here.
So the zombie army is expanding. Fantastic. Now we're at Shane Douglas's house or his brother's house or something. We're at a house with Shane Douglas. And this is the strangest scene in this movie of very strange scenes.
Wait, you didn't like Breakfast with the Douglases?
It's so weird. So they're just sitting around this table. There's the franchise, Shane Douglas. There's his brother, his sister-in-law, and I guess his mother, and his nephew. And they're just chatting about, like, wrestling. The sister-in-law is saying, Shane, are you sure you want to go wrestle again? Because he's been booked in this penitentiary thing that Cody Knott sent him to. And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. No big deal. Even though he just murdered a guy in his last match. It's all very weird. His nephew is super excited because he loves that his uncle is a wrestler. Shane insists that his nephew calls him the franchise and not Uncle Shane, which is great. And this changes throughout the movie, but early on, I actually think Shane is pretty good in this movie. It goes off the rails at some point, but he's not that bad.
He's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's not that bad. He has to leave, so he leaves breakfast. They walk outside. He's taking his nephew. They're talking. He tells the nephew, I want you to come with me to my next show, but this one, I'll go by myself. They walk around the front of the house. He says goodbye. Shane leaves. Then the nephew, the first thing he does is he looks right at the camera, which is great because the kid didn't know what he was supposed to do. He looks right at the camera and presumably Cody Knott's like had to wave him to continue the scene, which is great. Then he turns around and he walks back in the house. When he enters the house, his entire family has been brutally murdered by the nurse zombie.
These zombies murder the Douglas entire bloodline, essentially, in the utmost silence as Shane Douglas and his kid are in the front lawn for about 30 seconds.
It's literally 30 seconds. And the entire family has been brutally murdered. And the kid's just, like, you know, walking around there with his Game Boy or whatever. So now Shane enters Cody Knott's office in a different scene. And when I say I'm using the term office loosely here, much like I'm using the term movie and actor and most other things loosely in this episode, Shane walks into what looks like a gym bathroom and Cody Knott is sitting in front of him with like folded gym mats as his desk. It's all very strange. Shane talks to Knott about how he owes him money and that he's not paying him for the appearances and that he's the franchise and the main event. And he delivers the great line that he was promised that things were going to be different, not like they were under Heyman and McMahon and Jim Crockett.
I love they had to get pot shots in this movie, like to really drive it home.
And they went with a deep cut. They threw in Jim Crockett in there.
Somewhere someone watches when he went, oh, shit, he took a shot at Crockett.
Promises him that he'll get paid in cash once they get to the West Virginia penitentiary match. This is a lot of ad-libbing. Douglas is just basically, you know, working a promo on this guy. He's threatening him, and Knott's doesn't really know what to do with the energy, so he's just kind of staring back at him. But they let the camera roll, so it's whatever. And now we get Roddy Piper, his first appearance in the movie, and he is standing outside, presumably this office that Shane was at, signing autographs to a bunch of small children in the middle of a park.
Yep.
That's his entrance to the film.
And it proceeds to have him and Douglas really drive it home by saying brother and talk carny to each other for like a solid 5 minutes.
Yeah, I actually had a lot of trouble understanding anything that was being said.
Well, that's the point of talking carny. It's that secret language wrestlers used to use in like 1988.
Well, but I know the secret carny language. I just couldn't understand the words. So it's very strange. Like, these kids are going crazy for Piper. None of these kids were even born when Piper was a big deal. So I don't understand it. Then a woman walks through the crowd and you know, Piper kind of takes notice of her. She's walking into this random building that Shane Douglas just came out of. Turns out her name is Sarah, and now we get another creepy borderline let's make a porno scene.
I actually felt gross watching this scene.
I felt gross watching so much of this, and not for the violence. This is so weird, especially when you take out the context of the movie and you realize that this is the director of basically a self-funded film having himself do these things in this scene. It's all super uncomfortable.
Yeah, this, unfortunately, and like with things that have gone on recently in like Hollywood and wrestling, it is very uncomfortable.
It really is. I mean, we don't have to go into detail, but basically she's there for a job interview to be like a marketing person for this wrestling thing, which makes, I mean,
because she believes it could be the hugest thing ever.
I mean, yeah. I mean, from a plot perspective, I'm calling bullshit, but whatever. She's there for a job interview, and he, of course, makes it, you know, super uncomfortable and assaulty. And she's kind of into it because she wants the job, kind of. Her character is very hard to pin down. We're with her for most of the movie. I don't know what her character is. Sometimes she's timid, and sometimes she's a badass, and sometimes she's kind of like
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, and sometimes she's also kind of like, I don't even know. I don't even want to use words that the movie wants me to use, so I'm not going to use them.
Fair enough.
But it's very creepy. She gets the job and immediately goes on this bus trip to the West Virginia penitentiary for this wrestling show. Knotts does not go on the bus, though, for some reason, and he is never in the movie again.
No, he has excused himself from this film.
Yeah. So, makes it, because the scene is clearly establishing that he's a creep. All of his stuff, which is fine. But he doesn't even get his comeuppance. He's just a creep who gets the money.
He sends his equally ratty, like, sidekick for the rest of the movie.
On this bus ride.
I love this bus.
Yeah, it's absurd. Piper and Sarah become friends on the bus. They're joking about it. Piper, there was clearly no script for this film. So Piper, a lot of it is just him like rambling and not in his like outlandish rowdy way. He's rambling as like a war hardened veteran, basically.
Yeah.
So like, oh, Shane and I are close because we're brothers. We did this together. We traveled, we battled and it's whatever. But Sarah and Piper become friends. So while they're talking, we get a jarring cut to the opposite side of the bus where we meet Matt Hardy, who is awkwardly making out with some girl.
Well, that's Rebby. That's
not Rebby, Kramer.
How is that not Rebby? Are you kidding
me? Listen. It's not Rebby. Matt Hardy is making out with some girl and then seems to invite Sarah into a bus threesome situation, which is confusing on its face. So Matt Hardy, they're married now, Matt Hardy and Rebby Sky. At this point, they were dating. Rebby Sky is in this movie, but that is not Rebby Sky. And I don't know if it's meant to be because you never really see her face. But Rebby Sky is not a blonde, first of all, and this girl is blonde. And second of all, in the closing credits, this girl is billed as Matt's girl on the bus.
Oh my God, I just assumed it was her since they're in this movie together.
Yes, my guess is that you're supposed to believe it's her because this blonde character is never in the movie again. So my guess is that that's supposed to be Rebby Sky, but it is not Rebby Sky. Make sense?
Yeah, no, it doesn't, but okay.
Whatever, but there, now Matt Hardy, the rest of the bus, not all of the wrestlers are on this bus, but many of them are. Shane's on the bus, Taya Parker enters the bus. And here's where we get sort of the fill-in of the Battling Billy opening. Taya and Shane kind of like have an awkward, like, oh, I can't believe you're here. Oh, I love you. And then they start making out. That's uncomfortable.
Yes, half of this bus is having sex, basically.
Yeah, I mean...
In front of everyone.
So, like you said, it ties into Let's Make a Porno. And also, this is more akin to a Friday the 13th setup than a sort of elder wrestling setup. Like, Matt Hardy is kind of young, but even he's not that young at this point.
No.
So, I mean, this isn't, you know, the NXT team having fun on a bus. These are all people in their 50s. Now the bus stops off at a pizzeria. So So it's basically a Chuck E. Cheese. And our team of workers and all the other people that are there, they're sitting at a table eating pizza. And Shane, I guess this is how he treats all his women. Taya goes to sit down and Shane pushes her onto the floor, which I didn't understand.
Well, she was into it, though.
Yeah, she kind of like chuckles. And then Sarah laughs, too. And Taya gets really pissed off about this and throws water at her. So I don't know what we're setting up here. Sarah runs off because she's very upset that she got water on her. And then Piper decides to defend her honor.
He sure does. He sure does.
And he is shooting on Taya because, again, there was no script. So he's just shooting on Taya that he, you know, Sarah's a real woman. And I'm being polite with a lot of the terms I'm using. And that he doesn't like Taya for a lot of reasons. And then he spits on her.
Yes. That had to be improvised. Piper spits in this woman's face.
I mean, all of, even some of the things he says to her, which I'm not repeating here, had to be improvised and are also wildly inappropriate, Roddy. Like, what are you doing?
And the entire time in this scene, there is a giant stack of pizza boxes against the wall that I'm waiting for them to knock over.
Well, keep waiting, because there is no actual brawl here. It's just a lot of, like, teen angst stuff, again, from these 50-year-olds. My note here is, Kramer, I'm really sorry about this.
Well, you should be, because somehow, I don't know, you might have found the worst movie we've done.
Yeah, this is... Now we cut. There's a band playing in, like, in, like, the corner of a random room. Don't know why. Don't know who they are. Don't know what they're doing. And they all get eaten by zombies. Okay? don't know why it's happening. I'm assuming that's the band that does all the music. There's one band that does most of the music. I think they're called Dead by Five or something.
I'm assuming this band is the one that put up the $30,000. This was part of the deal, was that they had to be in the movie.
The bus arrives at this penitentiary. And the bus driver who... Was he the talking head that Angus was talking to? I couldn't tell.
No,
he was a bald guy.
I think the bus driver was actually, and I made a note, because he was hiding in the woods, like, during the hospital scene.
Correct,
and he had a name badge that said Tez Jaguar, which is a phenomenal name. I think he's just, like, his right-hand man.
So anyway, this bald-headed guy who is working with Angus in some capacity... He's going to play your evil gas station attendant, but in this one, he's going to be the evil bus driver. And he tells everyone, you know, if you go fight in this wrestling thing, you'll live on in eternity. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about? And he then pulls out a sack and says, everyone has to give me your cell phones because you can't call out. So everyone puts, you know, Hardy puts the cell phone, everyone's putting. Then he goes to Piper. And again, they just told Piper, just do what you got to do for a few minutes here. So Piper goes on this rant about how he ain't got no phone.
And the guy, if I did, I wouldn't give it to you.
Yeah, the guy, Mr. Piper, I ain't got no phone. It's over and over. So Piper doesn't have a phone is the moral of the story. And for those wondering, because in a normal movie, you would do that scene so that later Piper would have a phone that he kept hidden. That doesn't happen either. It turns out he just doesn't have a phone.
No, he was just honest. He was just telling the truth.
They go into this gym, and they're like kids running into Disneyland. They walk into this gym, and they see a ring, and they all start jumping around. There's the bands that just got eaten by zombie. Their equipment's in the corner, and all the lesser-known people in the movie are like, oh, I want to play in a band. So they start like hitting the drums. That's Thomas Rodman and a wrestler named Facade.
Yes, I am very familiar with Facade. I'm a big fan of Facade. He does a lot of GCW shows.
He does some cool stuff in this movie, too.
He's very good. He's actually one of the really good high flyers.
And then we get sitting on the bleachers, we get the one and only Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who I guess Ubered separately.
Has he just been sitting in this prison for like half the day just wondering, does he have a cell phone?
He got lucky that there were no zombies looking for him yet.
Was he there? Was he there when the band was murdered and just sat there and no salt? Oh, whatever.
Well, he was leasing up. He was lacing up his boots.
I like, too, with this scene, like you said, they just run in and play with it, but there was no direction either. So, like, when they go to grab the like, instruments, it's like they've never seen a guitar or a drum before, the way they're fucking with them. They look like they're trying to pretend they're, like, the monkeys.
basically, yes. So they're all doing random things in this arena, and now we cut to, now Rebby Sky has officially entered the film, and we cut to her and Matt Hardy awkwardly making out in a different room that just has the word chapel stuck to the side of the wall. So I guess this penitentiary has a chapel, and they're just in there, and they're kissing, and Hardy is saying things like, I'm gonna show you the love of Christ, and... It's like, and yes, that was my Matt Hardy impression.
Oh, it was very good. I thought he was on the show.
It's just very weird, like that. I don't know what else to say. They're falling over chairs and just making out. So good for them.
They are so horny. They give no fucks about their surroundings. They're just going through all the furniture.
And I guess Rebby has forgiven him for making out with that other woman on the bus who we never see again. Now we... It's so weird.
Yeah, what happens now? Tell me what happens now.
We cut to a separate movie. And and in this separate movie, which may or may not be a sequel to River of Darkness, Kurt Angle walks through some doors. And he's there with, I guess, like his manager and a handler or something. And he walks into this arena, and he immediately gets into a fight with about 40 zombies. So all these zombies are in this arena. They didn't attack the group of people that just went to the other arena. They were waiting at the Kurt Angle door for some reason. And in this brief scene where Kurt Angle's delivering dialogue, he is the best actor in the movie, and he's better than he was in River of Darkness. So what happened to this Angle?
We have to go back and see where this fits in the Kurt Angle acting timeline.
Oh, we are going to do some Kurt Angle. So anyway, Kurt Angle is set upon by all these zombies, and we get a full backstage brawl, Kurt Angle zombie fight, complete with Olympic slams on zombies, ankle locks on zombies where he rips off their foot, and then unfortunately he is overcome and turned into a zombie.
How is he not the lead?
Because he only had 5 hours to shoot his stuff. And he would have been the most expensive, because when this movie was made, he was the biggest star in the movie.
Obviously.
By a mile. So the next scene is insane. it's just no other way to put it. Now all of these zombies run to the arena where the ring is, and all our other characters are, and we just get a chaotic zombie battle royal.
Yep. Garbage metal playing over it as loud as possible.
They're clawing at the ring. They don't ever enter the ring, except for like a few of them, which is a kind of a bad strategy from a from an attack perspective. They kind of just stand outside and, like, you know, push their arms in.
No, this zombie attack is like a wrestling match. It's a weird bump and feed situation where they're just running in one at a time to take moves.
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean, we get some wrestling. I mean, it's all pretty uninteresting, but Kurt Angle, we get zombie Kurt Angle. Which is nice. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm glad he'll be around the whole movie, right? As like the major zombie, the lead zombie.
Oh, obviously. I'm already anticipating Piper versus Angle at the end. Zombie Kurt Angle still has the Olympic gold medalist skills to hit the Olympic slam again, even though he's a member of the Undead Army. So they're all fighting. Basically, some of the team gets separated. Most of the team gets separated. In the ring is just Piper, Duggan, and Douglas. And there again, these zombies are not entering the ring. They're just sort of standing in the center of the ring. Here it's revealed that not only was Douglas's entire family turned into zombies, they did eventually get his nephew. So his nephew didn't escape. His nephew is now zombie.
This movie has killed a child.
Yep.
And just so we all know, a little bit of a spoiler, it won't be the last time.
sure not. It won't even be the last time for this child. they escape by using a so this is really wild. So they're all the zombies are like pushing against the ring, and there's three of our heroes in the middle of the ring. The rest of the characters are just standing on the side of the ring, not being interfered with at all by the zombies.
Taya Parker,
there's Sarah. I think Facade is out there for a little bit. They're just standing there, and no one's bothering them. They're just in the corner watching what's happening to everyone else. I don't understand it.
And half the time when, like, the characters are trying to get away from zombies, they literally just walk in between them with no problem.
Right. Ultimately, that's how they escape this room. So Piper says, Hacksaw, do you remember the 81 riot or something? And Hacksaw says, yeah, let's do the wedge. And then they use basically Hacksaw's finishing move, the three-point stance, and they all just run behind Duggan and are able to push through the zombies without much problem.
I'm a big fan of all of these zombies because the director, whatever the hell his name is.
Cody Knotts.
Gave little to no instruction to these people because some of them are just kind of standing and looking at the camera or just kind of putting their arms out and not even moving. Like, it is so bizarre. Like, some of them, I was obsessed with watching these people.
So that group gets out. Facade has been left behind. And now we get sort of his moment in the spotlight where he evades zombies by using some of his flipping ability. He does a tope con hero on a few zombies outside. It's kind of fun. So he does some flippy stuff. He also eventually gets away. All the wrestlers end up in the chapel because there's only two rooms in this arena, the ring and the chapel. Piper yells at Hardy for not taking the zombie apocalypse serious enough. Sure. I don't know why we're talking about that. And now we get Sarah's character turn. So now it turns out she is some kind of zombie slayer. So I'm thinking that she knew this was going to happen. And that's why she applied for this marketing job. Because that's the only way this makes sense. She is immediately like, we got to do this. She's got a machete somehow.
She opens up a locker full of machetes and like hammers.
In the chapel of this arena.
Yeah, like she knew this was going down here and got set up ahead of time.
Shane Douglas, of course, continuing his Shane Douglas is an asshole role, which may or may not be a role, doesn't like that Sarah is taking charge because I guess she's a woman. I don't know what to make of the Shane Douglas character, but that's the impression I'm getting. She does the worst-looking drop-toe hold on Shane Douglas, which is hilarious. This is where we find out Angus's name, because Piper asked Shane to shoot with him. Gotta drop that lingo. Piper says, shoot with me, Shane. What happened? Why is all this going on? What happened with Angus? Now, I don't know why Shane Douglas would even know who Angus is. But here's where we get the reveal that Angus is, you know, they basically tell the same story. And also it's revealed to the group that Shane killed Angus's brother. And now we get they're all trying to hold the door closed. And we get the great cutaway to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who defends Shane Douglas by saying that battling Billy didn't tuck his head during the tombstone. So it was actually his fault that he got killed.
Sloppy worker. It's on him.
It's so weird. Like, why would you have that in there? They gear up. Like you said, they pull open this locker with all these weapons. They start running. Hardy gets separated somehow. I don't know how all these characters keep getting separated because they're in a group and then randomly there's just one by themselves. Hardy gets separated. He hurts his foot and now he gets an entire set piece to himself. And some of it's kind of fun. Most of it's pretty boring. He fights off a bunch of zombies with a ladder at one point. He's got a cookie sheet. Of course he does. I don't know where that came from.
I'm shocked a kendo stick did not show up in this movie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And they're sort of in like a prison, like a cell block. So the capper on this scene is Hardy climbs up the bars of the cell and they're sort of suspended above the ground. It takes forever. They show us every single step of this climb. He's able to fight a zombie off the top like they're on the steel cage and the zombie falls to the ground. Hardy wraps a chain around his fist, does a flying fist drop on the zombie. And this is where it's revealed that the zombies in this movie have Jell-O for brains. Because that's what comes out of the zombie's brain. It is the worst looking fake brain blood I've ever seen. But it is kind of a fun scene. It's too long, but it's fun. So Hardy gets his spot. Hardy catches up with the rest of the group. I don't know how he knew where they were, but he does catch up with them. As he's trying to make his way through the door that the rest of the group is in, either his leg or his entire torso is ripped from his body. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I think he gets ripped like at the waist. Like, in half.
I simply by closing, like, a small door. I don't know how this happened, but that's what happened. It's also revealed that he was, I guess, bitten, and he's now a zombie. They didn't show that.
No. I like, too, that during this scene, after he gets ripped in half, then he's just laying halfway down a hallway you can't see.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to actually do any, like, special effects.
Yeah, they just tucked him behind, like, a wall. So
yeah.
So he's laying there. Rebby, obviously very concerned about her boyfriend. So she goes to see if he's okay. Spoiler alert, he's been ripped in half. He's not okay.
Yeah, that's not working out.
He immediately makes the zombie sound and bites her. Instantly. So Hacksaw kills Matt Hardy. Rebby is now a zombie. She stands up, but she's still able to talk. So I guess she's in that in-between, like, when you're not full zombie. And she yells at Sarah, "I want your brains!" Because that's what zombies say, of course.
Of course.
And Sarah quickly kills Rebby, too. So the Hardy family compound has been excised from this movie.
The majority of the wrestlers in this movie were here for half a day. It is amazing the time they spend in this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to... I don't know if I even wrote it down, to be honest. I think Angle's already been killed, right? Zombie Angle?
Yeah, he's gone. He's never coming back.
Because he died in that ring scene, right?
Yes, yes. The most famous one on this entire cast is immediately gone.
Yeah, I didn't even write it down. Yeah, Kurt Angle was in this for about 3 minutes. I mean, so good for him. I mean, he sat in the makeup chair to put the zombie makeup on, so he gets points
for
that.
Did he? Because it looks like they just slapped one of those things you get at the Spirit Halloween shop on his bald ass head.
Yeah, they did.
He was like all flopping around and stuff.
Yeah, they did do that. So rewind and insert the Angle dying part a few minutes ago. That's when it happened. Anyway. Hardy and Rebby are dead. Again, this group separates. Do not understand how. Shane Douglas and Jim Duggan are now in a hallway alone. And they have sort of a nice scene where they talk about, you know, Shane is thanking him for all the help he gave him when he was a young wrestler. And Duggan says, "Hey, if anything happens to me, I want you to contact my wife." And it's a nice moment, you know, these longtime friends. Zombies break through the door in this hallway, so they start running away. Shane Douglas gets a little bit ahead and closes and locks the door behind him, leaving Duggan to fight off these zombies by himself. I love this part that Shane Douglas immediately double-crosses Duggan.
Yep, immediately. And I love what it leads to. I won't spoil it yet.
Oh, no. Save that. So Duggan does... a valiant effort, Duggan. Duggan also not bad in this movie, to be honest.
No, not at all. He's passable.
Because he's, you know, the Duggan character is this ridiculous, the wrestling character is this ridiculous character that, you know, we used to make fun of as kids. But Duggan himself is just kind of a normal guy.
Yeah.
So he's playing a normal guy and he's fine. So Duggan does his best to fight off these zombies. It does not go well. So that may or may not be the last we see of Duggan. We cut to another scene of Shane Douglas where it's basically the same scene we just saw with Duggan, but this time it's with Facade. And... Douglas does the same thing to Facade, locks him away from safety so that Shane Douglas can save himself, and he says the greatest line in the history of film, "Jobbers die, not main eventers."
Which we will be stealing for an eventual t-shirt.
Definitely. And he's right, Facade does die. So my next note is melancholy. It says, "Kramer, still 40 minutes left in this movie. This is unbelievable."
Unbelievable.
It's honestly unbelievable. They gave us the best stuff too early. We hit the zombies attacking at like the 25-minute mark, and now they're just doing this over and over. Piper, again, I don't know how all these people got separated, but Piper is alone in a kitchen. He gets a long scene where he is fighting a bunch of zombies over kind of like a bagpipe remix of his entrance music.
Including he bites one of the zombies. I feel like that's not a good idea. That can't work out for you. You have to be a zombie then. It works both ways.
So first of all, the zombie he bites is actually Thomas Rodman, who got turned at some point. He puts him in a freezer and Rodman like sticks his hand out. And Piper says, "Let's see how you like it." And he bites his hand. And I actually thought that was funny because that's the Piper that needs to be in this movie, the chaotic Piper. Too much he's sort of, you know, monotone, boring Piper. But like this sort of like wild... Piper would have been more fun in this movie, and that I thought was kind of funny that he's biting the zombie. Yeah, it's stupid, but it's funny. But this is all Piper just ad-libbing. Everything is, "Oh, I hate zombies. Zombies suck." You know, that's the whole scene, and it's a long scene. Some of these zombies don't even have zombie makeup. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. Yes.
Some of them, like, they try to hide their face a little bit, but they're clearly just extras who they have run at the people.
This had to be one of the levels on the backers. Like, you got to be a zombie.
Yes. The higher tier levels, I think it was if you like pledged $5,000, you get not only to be a zombie, but you get a highlighted death by one of the wrestlers.
Ooh.
So probably the people we see close-up deaths of probably paid $5,000. And by that, I mean no one paid $5,000. Anyway. Piper in the next scene finds zombie Duggan, who is sitting in a corner hugging his 2x4.
We are about to get an Old Yeller moment in this movie.
Yes. Duggan, not in a hurry to eat Piper. He's just kind of sitting in the corner eating someone else. And also, they were clearly not on set the same day because you don't ever see them together. But anyway, Duggan's eating someone else. Piper calmly picks up Duggan's fallen 2x4, slowly walks over, and puts Duggan out of his misery.
Amazing.
Great. My note, and I'm not joking, is best seat of the movie. It's great.
That's what my note too. We are on the same page.
It's great. It's everything that an 80s wrestling fan would want in a movie. My thought after this scene, which really hit me, was that it's amazing that this movie clearly started with no plan, no script, no nothing, and they wrung 91 minutes out of it. That's remarkable and is deserving of a standing ovation.
When I looked at the runtime in this movie originally, I'm like, 90 minutes. That's nice. That's quick. That should go real quick. It does not.
It's the longest movie I've ever sat through, and it is 91 minutes long. More nonsense. They're running around. There's some fighting zombies. Shane Douglas is constantly being a dick. There's another sacrifice similar to the earlier scene where Angus eats a woman's heart. I don't know why he's doing this again.
Nope. We got candles this time, though.
Yeah, but he does it again. He kills another woman, eats her heart. She is now another zombie. Don't know why any of this is happening. Now, every character is dead except for Piper, Sarah, and Shane Douglas. Those are the only three characters who are alive. So now the chase ends up outside. I don't know how they got out of this penitentiary. And I also don't know, wouldn't the bad guys have locked them in? Who cares?
It goes outside and it ends up essentially what looks like a public park.
It is I tried to look it up. This is in West Virginia. It's all filmed in West Virginia. I think this is a landmark in West Virginia of some kind. I think it's some kind of like Civil War battlefield or something.
Well, that explains the zombies that are coming up.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I mean, visually, it's probably a nice park to visit because visually it's kind of cool. It's got like a winding path of sort of posts up a hill and stuff. It's kind of interesting.
There's nice lighting.
Well, I disagree with that because these scenes are impossible to see anything. It's so dark. Oh, you mean the park has nice lighting?
Yeah,
yes,
the park.
That's true.
The park has nice lighting. Railways have nice lighting.
Yeah, the movie has shit lighting. You can't see anything.
Until we get to this park, and every so often there's a scene where the light's just shooting into the camera.
Yeah, yes.
There's like a flood lamp just pointing at the camera.
Piper and Sarah are running through this winding path, and there's just a horde of zombies running after them. It's very difficult to follow what's going on, but basically it's just a chase scene. Then Angus requests more power from the face in the sky, and the face in the sky responds, granted. So, is he a genie? I don't know what's happening.
Why didn't we just max out the power to begin with?
Yeah. And when you see what the power he got is, it wasn't really granted. Because what happens is, we get a few extra zombies. There's already like dozens. We get a few extra zombies coming up from the ground, and they are Confederate soldier zombies. I don't know why, but they are.
Because it's West Virginia.
Yeah, I guess, but they're also in, like, real zombie makeup. Like, they look better than all the other zombies. And we never see them again.
This was the $6,000 level for backing.
But all we see is them coming out of the ground, and then they never interact with any other characters. So, what power exactly was granted? They didn't do anything. Piper and Sarah fight off a bunch of these zombies. The very long scene, they're killing a bunch of zombies. Shane Douglas now, for some reason, instead of running in the other direction away from the zombie horde, he decides to catch up to Piper and Sarah at the top of this hill. And he does it by, like, running through a crowd of zombies as though it's the entrance of a wrestling venue. Like, he's running down the ramp and he's kind of, like, swinging at them on the side, but he might as well just be high-fiving them. And let's not forget that the entire thrust of this plot was that Angus wanted revenge against Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas wasn't even there, and yet the zombies were attacking Piper and Sarah.
Yeah, somehow it switched to, like, they're all after them now. Like, Douglas could have left. He was on his way out.
He should have ran the other way. Piper was booked because Angus gave Knott's too much money. And Sarah is an employee of Knott's, so why are they getting attacked? Shane Douglas catches up. Now it's the three of them at the top of this hill. Piper gives a rambling and bizarre speech about how he watched his best friend get turned, and then he had to kill his best friend. I guess he's talking about Duggan, but he never says his name. So. No.
If they were best friends, too, you would think Hacksaw would have told him he was working that show earlier. Wouldn't have been a surprise.
Or they could have carpooled. Why did they all take a bus to get to that? It makes no sense. It's like a field trip. So stupid. Now, Piper and Duggan are chatting. Or not fucking Duggan. Piper and Douglas are chatting. And now Douglas's entire zombie family comes upon them.
And he has to defeat them one by one.
One by one. They wait to tag in. It's a gauntlet match. So he has to kill his nephew. And he has to kill his brother. And then his mother comes, and he just can't do it. He breaks down, so Piper takes care of his mother.
I love that he kills the nephew with, like, an Arnold in Commando-level neck snap. Like, he just grabs the kid and just breaks his neck. A child. This kid has to be, like, 7 or 6.
Yeah, and he's been killed twice. After this scene, Angus is able to tie Douglas to a pole and sort of choke him to death. So Douglas is choked to death, and then all of the zombies rush in and eat him. So that is the end of Shane Douglas. Sarah is still, she's on her own now, basically at the top of this hill, fighting off all these zombies. She's doing a really good job. She's like doing like forward rolls and flips. She's like, she's doing everything. Piper has been injured by the group of zombies, and they don't eat him or anything. He's just laying on the floor. They try to eat him, but they can't bite through his leather jacket, so that's kind of ridiculous.
Sure. These zombies do a lot of just hovering and not biting in this ending scene.
I also don't understand, are they zombies? Because you can kill a lot of them by stabbing them through the chest, which is not how you kill zombies traditionally, but in this movie it works. So Piper's laying there, and then somehow he can now see the floating head in the sky thing, which I don't understand, and he finds out that the way to take away the power from Angus is to kill the two women whose hearts he have eaten. So the zombie nurse from the beginning and this other random sacrifice in the middle of the movie. And that will take away his power. I don't know how he can see this, but he can now. So Sarah is fighting these people. She kills the one zombie, and then it's her and the nurse zombie from the beginning, and they're fighting. The nurse zombie bites her on the shoulder, but she's able to get this nurse zombie up in a tombstone pile driver and kills her the same way that Shane killed Battling Billy at the beginning of the movie. And in doing so, the entire zombie army falls to the ground. Now we get Piper, we get standing at the top of this hill. I mean, even though he didn't do anything, he stands heroically. And there's a huge American flag behind him.
Yep. My note here is all caps, America, 5 exclamation points.
So strange. Piper goes over to check on Sarah, who has been bitten by a zombie, so she's dead. But no, he just helps her up. She's fine. Don't know how that happened. Nope. So are all the other people who were bit fine? We don't know. But she's fine. And then Piper and Sarah kiss, which is, again, kind of uncomfortable. And the movie ends with the, you know, Star Spangled Banner flying in the sky. And that's it. Yeah. I'm so lost at the end of this movie.
I rode through the credits, which I don't always do, just to make sure there was no stinger scene. And thank God there wasn't.
Good. You missed the one in See No Evil, so good. Good following.
Well, that's
up.
I learned.
Did you read any of the credits, though? Because I read the credits.
Oh, no. What, you're asking too much for me.
They are fascinating. As you know, I found the tidbits out about Angus being dubbed. I found the tidbit that Rebby Sky was not the girl Matt was with on the bus. That's all from reading the credits. So you're missing so much nuance to these movies, including. So the actual movie is only about 82 minutes, which would have been a fine length, but they want to pad the credits. And this is something I used to do when I used to make movies as a kid. You add whatever you can into the credits to make the movie just 40 seconds longer. So this movie adds lots of random stuff. They add the names of every single rock song that was in the movie, and there's like 25. And they also list at the end, and this is true, food provided by, and then they list the restaurants they ate at.
What?
Yes. So the and it says food provided by, but I'm going to bet you that no one provided food.
No, this wasn't catered.
Right. They simply went there to eat and then put them in the movie to pad the length. So this cast and crew ate at the following restaurants, Kramer. You ready?
Give it to me.
They ate at the Olive Garden.
Fuck you.
The Pizza Place, which is where they had that fight, I guess.
Wait, did it have a name or is it called The Pizza Place?
It's called The Pizza Place. All of these...
Double fuck you.
All of these places are in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Because it also said that. It said the Olive Garden of Parkersburg, West Virginia. And of course, where do they have to eat? Chick-fil-A. Got to do it.
Not on a Sunday. You know, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to take a show trip to West Virginia and go to these local eateries and tell them that we heard about them in the film Wrestlers vs. Zombies.
We can sit at the booth where Taya Parker threw water on someone and then got degraded by Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Ignorance is bliss.
Alrighty. So now it's time for Ignorance is Bliss. As listeners know, this is the segment where we solicit responses from people, but they're not allowed to look up anything about the movie. They just have to tell us what they think the movie's about based on the title and the name of the wrestler who's in it. So for this week's episode, since there were about a dozen wrestlers and the title is so specific, the assignment was slightly different. I more was looking for how they think these wrestlers came to be interacting with zombies. So I wanted more to, sort of the plot setup more than I wanted a specific prompt about who the wrestler is and all that.
Okay.
So we got a bunch of responses. First from Tim. He wrote in to say that these wrestlers were preparing for the summer showdown in Brockton and found themselves the sole survivors of a deadly pandemic sweeping the eastern seaboard. The zombie fans storm the arena and mayhem ensues. But it turns out Lycra provides kind of a prophylactic against a virus. It makes you think.
It makes you think.
I thought it was funny that the spandex the wrestlers wear is the only thing that can save humanity.
Also, better movie.
Well, as we're finding from almost all of these, any entries we get would be a better movie. You know what's interesting too, and this is we didn't get any submissions on this way, but the title of this movie is so straightforward, and a lot of the entries we received were equally straightforward. So I'm not reading those; they were just, oh well, obviously, you know, X happens. But this movie is even weirder than the title would have you think. There's, like, you know, strange mysticism thrown in. There's a revenge plot. It's even weirder than the title would have you think. All right, and Kramer, of course. I spoke to my father about what he thought Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies was about. So I want you to take a listen to it, and we'll get your thoughts afterwards. Hey, Dad.
Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm well. So today's movie is the assignment is a little bit different because this movie features a ton of wrestlers, so I'm not even going to name them. But what I want you to do is tell me how you think these wrestlers got involved in this movie, okay?
Okay.
The name of the movie is Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. How do you think this group of wrestlers came to encounter these zombies?
I think they were doing an event, and the zombies were, it came in and infected some of the people watching the event, and it, you know, snowballed.
Okay, so you think this was at a wrestling show, and some members of the crowd got infected?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the context of this battle? Because it's pro wrestlers versus zombies, so are they fighting them in the arena? Are they fighting them in a series of wrestling matches? What is the context?
I would think they were actually fighting them in the arena.
So just trying to survive?
Yeah, trying to survive, yes.
So very straightforward approach to the plot. And honestly, that's what this movie should have been. It should have been very simple. It's a small indie show. There's 40 people in the crowd. a zombie somehow walks in, and that's it. The wrestlers are trying to survive. Not all this weird soap opera revenge stuff and no. The stuff with Douglas's family. Why is that in the movie?
Yeah, stick these wrestlers in a high school gym. It doesn't have to be a prison. You know what? Not a lot of difference between a prison and a high school.
Well, the movie starts in a high school, too. It starts in a high school indie show, so.
Yeah. Your father, again, better movie. He had it called.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the movie that should have been made. We should probably take it to Kickstarter.
All right, so we're going to do zombies versus wrestlers.
It's time to review Pro Wrestlers versus Zombie in our patent-pending Back from the Dead review process. The three count. So Kramer, three questions as always. First up, is this movie a wrestling movie?
Well, if this movie is anything, it is a wrestling movie. It's in the title. It's got legends all over the place. It's a sad, sad wrestling movie, but it's a wrestling movie.
It's definitely a wrestling movie. They even try and do some of wrestling stuff. I mean, not just in the ring, but even the stuff Hardy does where he's like climbing a cage. Stuff. So it's definitely a wrestling movie. I mean, even if they didn't do wrestling moves, the number of wrestlers in it makes it a wrestling movie. But there's even wrestling moves. The zombie 3D is like the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's so bad and great. I love it. As we've learned on this show, though, many wrestling movies are not good movies. Kramer, is that the case for Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies?
This is not a good movie. In fact, it's barely a movie. It's one of those movies that we've come to learn exist in this world that look like they've been shot on GoPros, basically. So it looks trash. The script doesn't even attempt to make sense.
So here's the deal. This is not a good movie. Like you said, it's barely a movie. It's a series of random zombie fights. But, you know, I look back at the movies we've watched. Like, we crushed Wise Guys. We thought Wise Guys was, like, just bad, but Wise Guys is a competently made movie that just missed, and we crushed that because we expected more from it. I'm gonna do the opposite here. I'm reluctant to crush this movie because I know that these people were doing their best. Their best was not very good, admittingly. I think they would probably admit that too. But there was no budget. This is a first-time filmmaker. They probably had a lot of fun. I'm reluctant to crush it because of that. I don't know.
You're a coward.
The budget was around $30,000. So I don't know what... I don't know. It's not good. It's very hard to watch. I didn't enjoy it. But I'm reluctant to say that it was that bad. I don't know.
I am now going to this Kickstarter page, and I'm going to look for your name in that backers list.
You should look for me in the movie. I got killed by Piper. And lastly, Kramer, where would you... So this whole movie is about booking a wrestling show, which is fun. Where would you put this movie if you were booking a wrestling card?
Okay, so I am ready to piss you off by disrespecting our format, as I usually do.
Come on. you have literally one job.
Yep, and I get it wrong every time. This movie is not on any wrestling card. This movie is actually the scene from The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke where he's at the convention with all the legends signing, and it's real sad and depressing. It's that, but with zombies.
Okay, I don't even know how to deal with that. I mean, man, that's nonsense. Just everyone ignore that. I was, when I picked this movie and started watching it, I was hopeful that this would be an opener. Bad, silly, fun. I can't even put it on the card.
Ooh.
This is like...
They're not booked.
No, this is like a tryout match that only the executives get to see, and then afterwards no one gets a contract. Because it's again, I'm trying not to slam it, but it's so, like, literally, this movie, I was like 12 minutes into this movie, and I was thinking, how can this not be over yet? Because it's just so hard to watch. It's so boring. And even a lot of these wrestlers, I mean, I know Shane Douglas has, you know... He's a polarizing figure in wrestling, but I even kind of like Shane Douglas, and I love Piper, and Matt Hardy's great, and Duggan is, you know, from my childhood, and it's not even that much fun to see them on screen because it's such a drag to sit through.
Yeah, and I mean, Kurt Angle's in this movie, and he doesn't even matter, which is insane.
He doesn't matter, and he's actually, his scene was one of the bright spots of the movie. Because, again, he actually showed some personality, which he did not do in River of Darkness.
No.
Also, River of Darkness, much better movie than this.
Oh, infinitely better. I like that your pick is that it's not even on the card, so it's essentially the Dennis stamp from Beyond the Mat of movies.
I you know what? I think there is no better way to put that. So, this movie had a lot of weird plot turns. At one point, there was a talking head in the sky. People were eating hearts. And our show likes to follow a similar format. It's time for the Swerve.
This is the Swerve.
So, Kramer, movies like this, there's really only one way to give them their proper justice. And that's by playing the IMDb plot keyword game.
I am excited because I always like this game, but I am shocked enough people put keywords in for this movie.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but there's only about a dozen keywords for this movie, and no users found any of them useful. So, as always, that is the sign that a film has made its mark. So, you ready? You know the rules. I'm going to give you a plot keyword. Some of them I've made up. Others are actually on the Internet Movie Database as keywords for this movie if you wanted to find it. And you're going to tell me which ones I've made up and which ones are real. Got it?
Got it.
So first up, first-time filmmaker. Is that real or fake?
That is real.
It is real. Although I don't know that that constitutes a plot keyword. It's not part of the plot, right? That would be a production keyword, I guess.
Do you know if he was a second-time filmmaker?
yes, he was. He made a movie a few years ago. I don't know if he directed it, but it was on his IMDb, so maybe he had a producer credit or something. Yeah. And it actually has like a 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb, so it might be decent. I don't know.
I'll never find out.
No. I did click it to see if there was a wrestler in it, though. Of course. All right, next, Olympic.
That is, I'm gonna say fake. It's too specific.
That is real, and
fuck
you know what?
Me.
Fuck you for adding that too. So I'm going to click Olympic and this movie's going to show up. All right, next, Hacksaw.
That is fake.
That is fake. But I thought it was a good fake one. So well done sniffing that out.
It is a good fake one. I would like there to be one where there's assorted Hacksaw movies, either dug in or just the tool itself.
Next, franchise.
That is also fake.
That is real. And see, here's where I think that it had to be Cody Knotts putting these keywords in. I mean, or maybe like a super mark, because they're
that
just
has
putting
to
in.
Be. That's like a deep down mark. That is not like a casual.
I don't, but it's real. So it's there.
So that means if you click that, this movie comes up alongside like Fast and the Furious and like the
Avengers.
Avengers.
Yeah.
I like that we both went with the Avengers.
Well, I mean,
we're a tag team.
Yeah, that's right. So going on next, Bear.
No, that can't be real. There was no bears in this movie.
It's real. And I don't know why it's real. Because there were no bears. So I don't understand. Moving right along. Bus ride.
That's a tricky one. If it's fake, then I congratulate you because that's a good one. I'm going to say it's real.
It is fake. I like that one too, because that's the kind of nonsense that someone would put in.
Yeah,
because a lot of these real ones for real movies are crap like that. Like you go to the Avengers, there's 700 real plot keywords, and half of them are motorcycle chase, motorcycle. Next, goldfish.
That is fake.
Yeah, I put that one in just because bear was in there randomly. Next, success.
That is also fake because that is not what this movie was.
It's real. And
how is what in what context?
I don't know because it's supposed to be plot keywords, but clearly someone was having fun. So either this, I guess this could be a plot keyword in the sense that they successfully defeated the zombies, or if it was Cody Knotts, it could be that it was successfully funded or that it was successfully made. I don't know, but it's real and I don't understand it. And our last plot keyword, body slam.
That, you know what? Real.
It's fake.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that one was intentionally to trick you. It's a reference to Piper's classic film Body Slam, which is our first episode. You should go check it out in the archive. And there are a few body slams in this. Zombies do get body slammed at various points. Kramer, I don't keep score, but I think you did pretty well. And honestly, I think we've done the job for pro wrestlers versus zombies. And you know what? I'm starting to get a little depressed with our picks. So I'm glad Halloween is over. Because our two Halloween movies were rough to sit through. So Kramer, please, give me something upbeat. Give me something fun. Give me something I can enjoy.
Well, I apologize. This is kind of wild, and it's actually a spoiler a little bit, but our next film is definitely another wrestling movie. We are going to be watching the 2004 film Moment of Truth, which is a biopic starring the icon Sting.
Oh, man. Is this the one that was like released exclusively to YouTube or something?
Yes, it is free on YouTube, and I think the best description for this film comes from the Goofs section of IMDb. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, please.
As read from IMDb, none of the facts and events are true and accurate. So there you go.
So is this... Oh, I don't even want to know. You know what? I'm not even going to ask that question. I'm so excited.
So this is the story of Sting up to the year 2004, which when you think about it, since then, his career might be better than it's ever been.
Oh, man. I didn't follow Sting that closely as a child, so I'm really excited to learn about what happened to him.
Well, good for you, because none of the facts and events are true and accurate.
I like how that's a goof. It's not. That was clearly intentional to make all this up. All right. Well, that's, you know what? That's amazing. And that does it for this episode. To hear more about Sting's past, you should subscribe to us wherever you're listening to your podcast. You should also rate and review us everywhere. That is helpful. You can follow us on Instagram at movie.marks or on Twitter at movie_marks. Kramer does a lot of live tweeting of wrestling shows. That's always fun. And many of them involve Sting, so go figure. If you have suggestions for movies we should cover, you want to make fun of us, you want to make fun of the movies, you want to contribute to Ignorance is Bliss, why don't you tell us what you think Sting's backstory is according to this movie? That might be fun. I don't know. You can email us at themoviemarks@gmail.com. We also take any hate mail you have from Chicago. And of course, we are actively seeking corporate sponsorship of any kind. We definitely have no standards. And it's going to come to the point where we are going to put ourselves on Kickstarter for like a season two, and then we'll just split the money and make sure we get funded ourselves. I mean, why not? Until next time, I'm Chris Sacco.
I'm Chris Kramer.
And we're the Movie Marks.
Jobbers die. Not main eventers. I hate zombies.